Colorado's and Maine's decisions to keep him off those states' ballots, citing the insurrection clause of the U.S. Constitution. A federal judge in Virginia rejected a similar claim. The judge says the activists involved don't have standing to bring the case. The ruling was not on the merits. Strong gains for the year for all of Wall Street's major indexes. This is ABC News. A judge in Virginia has dismissed a challenge seeking to bar Mr. Trump, former President Trump, from Virginia's ballot under the 14th Amendment. The judge says the activists don't have standing to bring the case and that the ruling is not based on the case's merits. This as the Trump campaign appeals decisions in Maine and Colorado to keep his name off the ballot in those states, citing the Constitution's insurrection clause. A man who fatally shot his mother in the desert near his childhood home, setting off a violent high-speed police chase through the suburbs of Las Vegas as he carjacked bystanders, shot at officers, was armed with two rifles, police say. Gunman's among the three people dead. They are ready for any protests New Year's Eve in Times Square, says Mayor Eric Adams.
We will be out here with our canines, our horsebacks, our drones, our helicopters, our boats. The full complement of our public safety apparatus will be on display.
There'll be thousands of police officers, says the New York mayor, for New Year's Eve. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Buggyhout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's economy is ending the year in good shape. The state's unemployment rate is 3.3%. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development says a record 3 million people were working in Wisconsin at the end of November. The Journal Sentinel reports that the biggest problem with Wisconsin's economy is not enough workers to fill job openings. The flu, RSV, and COVID-19 are running high in Wisconsin. Dr. Tom Haupt is Wisconsin's chief epidemiologist.
There's no indication that there's any kind of plateau going on, that we are leveling out. Everything is still on a pretty steep increase over the past few weeks.
Two children under the age of 5 died from RSV in Wisconsin last week. I'm Nate Wuggyhout, Civic Media News.
Packers head to Minnesota. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the border battle. The Packers and the Vikings on Sunday Night Football, New Year's Eve, inside the big glass box with huge speakers. In downtown Minneapolis, known as U.S. Bank Stadium, both teams at 7-8, still alive for a playoff spot. Matt LaFleur.
I think this is one of the best venues to go play a football game in. Their fans are very supportive of the home team, and they do a great job of making it chaotic for the opposing team, especially for opposing offenses.
College football, the Badgers are in Tampa getting ready for Monday's ReliaQuest Bowl. Kickoff 11 a.m. on New Year's Day. Luke Fickell says to beat number 13th ranked LSU, he's counting on Wisconsin's offensive line.
You know, I really like where we are with those five guys, the Jack Nelsons and you know, Riley Malmans and Joe Hubers. It's played a lot of football. In particular, those guys have got to be tough, nasty dudes.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight to low in the low 20s. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, a few flurries in the afternoon and evening, a high in the low 30s. Some snow showers tomorrow night, then more clouds and low 30s for Sunday. Sunshine is back for New Year's Day Monday, high near 30, currently 21 degrees.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide and live on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And I'll tell you right from the get-go, I know that a lot of people on the last broadcast day of a year like to do a retrospective. They like to go over and say, what were the big stories, blah, 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 blah. I have a different viewpoint. History is going on all the time. It's being made every second of every day, whether you're asleep or awake, whether you're sick or you're healthy, whatever it is, whether you're paying attention or not, every day. We're going to talk about it later, but Russia launched the biggest attack against Ukraine that it has since the start of the war last night, trying to sneak up on the Labor Day weekend. History is being made. It's being made in your lifetime. Scholars will study this 50, 100 years from now, and your grandkids will say to you, gee, were you alive then? Well, you're going to pay attention now. I'm going to pay attention now because history is being made. There's one set of facts, we're going to start, one thing that absolutely blew me away. You're aware, I'm aware of the fake elector scheme in Wisconsin and elsewhere. We've talked about it a lot. But there was a leak that just came out, and it was a leak of the interview with Ken Chesbro, by the Michigan prosecutors. Remember, the Michigan Attorney General has criminally charged the Michigan State fake electors. And Chesbro was into it up to his ears, even though he wasn't living in Michigan. And to save his hide, to save his skin, he cooperated with them. And I suspect, and others do too, that that means that he's not going to be prosecuted in Michigan. We've also heard that he's cooperating with Josh Call here in Wisconsin. And you'll see when I go over these facts, how it seems almost inevitable there should be a prosecution in Wisconsin as well. What Chesbro did to the Michigan investigators, he detailed in great detail the plot to fly fake elector papers to Washington, D.C., and to do it in a timely fashion to get it to Mike Pence and all the machinations they went through. These leaked recordings said this: the Trump people, the Trump campaign, went into panic mode when they learned that some of the fake elector ballots from Michigan and from Wisconsin were stuck in the mail or might not get there in time, might not get there by January 6th. So they had a lawyer fly them to Washington, D.C., and then had them hand-delivered to Republican lawmakers. And here is a quotation, and I listened to this. I listened to what he had to say. Quote, this is Chesbro talking to Michigan investigators. Quote, the general counsel of the Trump campaign was alarmed. They considered doing commercial. They considered actually leasing a plane. They did commercial. This is was a high-level decision to get the Michigan and Wisconsin votes there. That's a quotation from Ken Chesbro to the Michigan AG's office. The Michigan and Wisconsin votes there. The fake electors from Wisconsin were flown, their names, they were flown from Milwaukee to Baltimore in a flight. Baltimore, Washington International. There's a flight that got there January 5th, about 10 a.m. The Trump campaign people and officials in the Wisconsin Republican Party landed with the pages, the Wisconsin fake electors, as I say, 10 a.m. on January 5th. It was a Wisconsin Republican Party official. He didn't say in that segment that I listened to, didn't say who it was. And a Trump campaign official. The two men, the Wisconsin campaign, the Wisconsin GOP leader and the Trump campaign official, handed the papers at 10 a.m. off to Chesbro in the airport. And they met him. They didn't meet him at the airport. They went from the airport, I'm reading now, to the Trump International Hotel in downtown Washington. Chesbro was there and a Trump aide. Chesbro then took the papers from the Wisconsin official, the Wisconsin GOP official, and from the other Trump aide, and took them to deliver them to the Hill. Chesbro said this, quote, I had the Wisconsin stuff. Mike Braun, a Trump campaign aide, had the Michigan stuff. We walked to the Longworth office building, and the guy was Scott Perry. That's the congressman from Pennsylvania, who was in on steal the election. He was one of Trump's key guys. And some other fellow that were staff members of the House took them and said, we're going to walk them over to the Senate and give them to a Senate staffer. And then Chesbro said to the Michigan investigators, quote, I don't know why we didn't take it directly to Ron Johnson. So he said to Ron Johnson, but that's how we did it. He said that Wisconsin state party officials were amazed that Trump's campaign insisted on using a courier to ensure delivery. One Wisconsin GOP official, another one, wrote to Andrew Hitt, at the time a fake elector and the chairman of the Republican Party, saying, quote, freaking Trump idiots wants someone to fly the original elector papers to the Senate president, end quote. I did not know before I saw this information that Chesbro said, why didn't we just give them to Ron Johnson? Ron Johnson was in this thing up to his eyeballs. Remember, he had his chief of staff. His chief of staff, Ron Johnson's chief of staff, contact Pence's chief of staff and say, I'm sending you the fake elector papers. He didn't say fake elector papers. He said the elector papers. Pence's guy said, don't do it. We don't want them. When they were delivered by a courier, two couriers, one is a Trump aide, one is the Republican official who is unnamed in this particular quotation, they flew from Milwaukee to Baltimore, Washington International. Then they went into the Trump Hotel, met with Chesbro. Chesbro took them. He had a Trump aide there with him as well. And they walked it over to the Longworth building and they met with somebody in Scott Perry's staff, Scott Perry's staffer, and another Trump official. said, we are going to walk them over to the Senate president. Let me tell you something from a prosecutorial point of view. In that conspiracy, Ron Johnson not only had his chief of staff try to send them to Mike Pence, but Ron Johnson was the contact guy. The Chesbro was surprised in retrospect, they just didn't give it to him. He was the middle man. He was the middle man. Scott Perry received the fake electors, his staffer did, and he was going to walk them over to the Senate. Josh Call could prosecute Scott Perry in Wisconsin for that. He could prosecute Ron Johnson in Wisconsin for what he did. He could prosecute Chesbro, except that because now there's reports that Chesbro was cooperating, maybe he cut a deal. And I'm not going to second guess somebody's prosecutorial discretion. Maybe he cut a deal. He could prosecute Andrew Hitt. He could prosecute the staffers who did this. Remember something, Fannie Willis in Atlanta is only the DA of a county, Fulton County. She's not the Attorney General of Wisconsin. And yet she has criminally charged Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani and Mark Meadows. All of them were instrumental in organizing what was happening in Georgia. Here, Josh Call could also criminally charge Donald Trump. Jack Smith has in Washington. He could certainly prosecute Ron Johnson. I mean, how many times does Ron Johnson's name have to pop up in this deal? How many times? His chief of staff was going to send it to Pence's chief of staff, who rejected them. He's now mentioned in an investigative report to Michigan that Chesbro doesn't know why we just didn't give him to him. He was the guy, the middleman. In addition to that, in addition to Trump, Chesbro hit Scott Perry. Scott Perry is a Pennsylvania congressman. You think that Pennsylvania is sort of a purple state. You wouldn't have the weirdos there. You have plenty of weirdos there, plenty of them, and he's the main weirdo. He is a doctrinaire, anti-democracy Trumper to the max. And he tried to get a pardon from Trump because he knew he'd committed a criminal offense. You don't ask a president for pardon if you're not worried about something. How many people listening to me have ever tried to talk to a politician to get to the president? I need a pardon. Oh, really? Oh, really? You need a pardon, do you? What do you need a pardon for? What do you got a guilty conscience for? The president can pardon any federal criminal offense, not a state criminal offense. Scott Perry begged for a pardon, just like Giuliani begged for a pardon, because he knew what he had done. What he had done was subvert the Constitution, take part in his insurrection, and try to overturn an election, a free, fair election under our democracy. So when Josh Call and his office look at this, and I'm sure they have the transcripts, the attorney generals cooperate with one another. And if they don't, the minute he hears this over the air, he should request that transcript of everything, everything that Chesbro said, everything, and prosecute the people who are involved. And two of them that come across loud and clear are Ron Johnson, Scott Perry, in addition to the 10 fake electors here in Wisconsin. Coming up very shortly, Maine throws Trump off the ballot. Now Colorado, now Maine, Trump, and I will get into the issues very shortly. Gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Toasting to the new year? This celebration has been going on around the world for thousands of years. Many revelers include resolutions for the year ahead. It's an opportunity for renewal and to set some goals, whether you focus on health, work, or relationships. Intentions to improve your life is the best possible thing to do for 2024.
I'm Terry Barr. And from all of us with the Civic Media Radio Network, happy holidays.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10. On the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Match the Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. John of Boaz, my friend. Thanks for calling. John, what's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt Flynn. I'd like to say that Donald Trump and the Republicans are a has-been. He is stuck like a pig. He's going to bleed out. And then who do they have, the Republicans? Why don't they get someone like you in there to vote? There's plenty of time, Matt.
John, let me tell you something. If the Republicans were looking for a candidate, there are very few people that would be lower than me on their list to look at. Trust me. I mean, you've listened to this show for a long time, and there are some Republicans that I respect. I respect Liz Cheney. I respect Adam Kinzinger. I respect these people. I respect Dwight Eisenhower. I think he was a fine president. But that's not the Republican Party anymore. The Republican Party right now is Donald Trump calling actual Republicans rhinos. Rhinos. I mean, there was a time when Republicans and Democrats worked together. Republicans weren't attacking Social Security and all this kind of thing. But those times have changed. They really have changed. Thank you for calling, John, as always, and have a happy new year. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind, Bill?
You know, one thing we never talk about much at all, and to me should be, I think, near the top of the list, all those people, Ron Johnson, Trump, bunch of them, they voided their oath of office. They took an oath of office to protect and defend the America from foreign and domestic terrorism. Well, they voided it. All of them voided their oath of office. Doesn't that mean any? Just that alone, that should be enough to remove them from office. Why is that not looked at the way it should be, Matt? I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Yeah, that's an excellent question, Bill, as always. There's two things about it. One of them is, in violating his oath of office, Donald Trump is, in my view, precluded from running for office again, including the presidency. And that's been the subject of the action by Colorado and Maine. But you're right. The others, some of them would say under the Constitution, by violating the oath of office, you can't run in the future, but you can stay on as an incumbent. But that would give Ron Johnson 5 more years. And I don't think that's the case. That was not the 14th Amendment intent. The 14th Amendment, it was originally directed, obviously, at the Confederate Army and the Confederate people, the Confederate officials who swore oaths to our Constitution and then betrayed them. But none of them were permitted back into office. I mean, you know, it wasn't like, oh, okay, listen, I was elected in Alabama to a 6-year term. I briefly left to fight you and bayonet you at Gettysburg, and now I'm coming back in. I want to fill out the last 2 years of my term. There's no way that happened. There's no way that happened. So I think it does apply to everything. Now, you say, okay, they violated their oath. Is that a criminal offense? Well, that is frankly a very complex subject, but the easiest thing is don't let them serve. And Rick Perry, for Pete's sake, it was his aide that met them at the hotel, to walk the papers of the Senate president, the Wisconsin's fake electors. This is the equivalent of a RICO conspiracy. And Fannie Willis did a marvelous job. She indicted, what, 19 people or more? And the truth is, they all brought motions to dismiss. They brought motions to dismiss, and the judge very correctly said, wait a minute. In that kind of a conspiracy, all you need is to have your toe in it. Just put your toe in the water. Well, toe in the water, I mean, Ron Johnson's up to his waist in the water. So is Rick Perry. So is Voss by engineering the meeting room and then giving instructions on how to shut up and keep it quiet. Frankly, Josh Call could indict Giuliani. I mean, Giuliani is one of the ones that that cautioned people in Wisconsin and elsewhere of keeping it secret. And Trump, certainly, if Fannie Willis can criminally charge Trump, Josh Call can criminally charge Trump. And if he doesn't want to go that far because the publicity, blah, 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 then at least charge the 10 fake electors, Ron Johnson, Scott Perry, and Robin Voss. Go ahead and charge them. You can't continue to leak this out and dribble it out, and suddenly there's an election in November, and then who knows what happens? Who knows what happens? I mean, that's a very, very hazardous way to go about this. Going back to the lines, Jean of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling, Jean. What's on your mind today?
First of all, I hope you have a wonderful Happy New Year, and thank you for all the work you have done and the time you have spent with us just with this great, great program, man. I'm very, very appreciative, and we're so blessed to have you.
Well, Happy New Year to you, and thank you, Jean.
I think they need to all be called out because you know what? It's named after Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Green Bay Sweep. How much more do we need to come from Wisconsin? And they need to get their butt in gear and kick their butts. Oh, Matt, can I bring up one more quick thing?
Sure, absolutely, Jean.
I think that tomorrow, the morning cannolis, you know, with the lawyer that
Jim Santel. Yeah, Jim Santel.
Yeah, thank you. I'm having a senior moment, having a lot of those lately with all this stuff going on. But anyhow, tomorrow he has a show from 9 to 11, and he'll be probably covering a lot of this stuff too. So it's like a class. So I strongly recommend people, maybe he'll have some additional information, or he will have things on the Supreme Court and that type of thing. But anyway, Matt, thank you, thank you, thank you so much, and you have a great New Year. You deserve it. You've helped us all. Thank you. Bye.
Well, thank you very much, Gene, and Happy New Year to you, too. Yeah, and Jim Santel's a friend of mine. He's an excellent lawyer. He's a former U.S. attorney, by the way. He was the U.S. attorney here in Milwaukee, largest U.S. attorney's office in the state. And he did a superb job, and he's an expert. So I strongly recommend his show, 9 to 11 tomorrow morning. And he takes call-ins. And so a lot of people, when we're talking about legal subjects, I try to boil them down. But over two hours, we have many, many topics. They may not get the consideration in depth that Jim will bring to them tomorrow. So if you have any lingering questions, absolutely, absolutely give Jim's show a call. As I was saying at the beginning, Maine, the secretary just threw Trump off the ballot. That follows Colorado. And her reasons were the same. The 14th Amendment, the prohibition against insurrectionists being able to run for an office after they've taken an oath and violated it. And I want to give a shout out to Rose, one of our callers, one of our contactors, one of our audience, who emailed me at the Civic Media email address. She didn't give her location, so I can't say Rose of what county, but it's a terrific email. And she said, look, this business that somehow it doesn't apply to the presidents is ridiculous. Jefferson Davis was initially, there was an action against him. Lincoln pardoned him, and he pardoned Robert E. Lee. But if either one of them had tried to run for president of the United States, they would have been back in jail. And Rose, thank you. Shout out to you for that great information. Okay, coming up, I'll tell you what. There's a lot of news, a lot of weather, and the Colorado Republican chairman slams Lauren Boebert.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. A day after a huge rogue wave from a Pacific storm crashed ashore through a neighborhood in Ventura, California, flood and high tide warnings remain for hundreds of miles of California coast. A local surfer.
We always look forward to the big waves, but Mother Nature had a little more than we had planned for. So I did not surf yesterday.
Vetoing a bill that would have banned gender-affirming care for minors, Ohio Governor Mike DeWine, a Republican.
These are gut-wrenching decisions that should be made by parents and should be informed by teams of doctors who are advising them.
While the Trump campaign appeals Colorado's and Maine's decisions to keep him off those states' ballots, citing the insurrection clause of the U.S. Constitution, a federal judge in Virginia rejected a similar claim. The judge says the activists involved don't have standing to bring the case. The ruling was not on the merits. Strong gains for the year for all of Wall Street's major indexes. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Joe Biden called the recently passed former U.S. Senator Herb Kohl one of the finest people he ever worked with. State Democratic Party Chairman Ben Wickler.
The only person that he was working for was you, the voter. It wasn't about special interests or about big money donors or anything else. He was there to do the work because he loved Wisconsin and he wanted to lift Wisconsin up.
Flags around Wisconsin are lowered to half staff until after Kohl's funeral. He died Wednesday after a brief illness. Kohl was 88. Minocqua Brewing Company owner Kirk Bangstedt is filing a petition with the Wisconsin Elections Commission to try and keep Donald Trump's name off Wisconsin's presidential ballots next year. The commission has already rejected the petition, though it is likely to end up in the courts. I'm Nate Buggyhout, Civic Media News.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15. With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight to a low in the low 20s. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, a few flurries in the afternoon and evening, a high in the low 30s. Some snow showers tomorrow night, then more clouds and low 30s for Sunday. Sunshine is back for New Year's Day Monday, high near 30, currently 21 degrees.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
1 in 4 Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. David of San Francisco, my friend. Thanks for calling, David. What's in your mind today?
Oh, thanks, Matt. Have a happy new year. Yeah, I'm glad you were raising the fake electors business. The if I remember right, when this news first came out, and this is, 2 years ago, was the January 6th committee disclosed it, and almost nobody was doing any prosecution.
David, you're coming in a little fuzzy. You on a speakerphone, or is there some other deal going on here?
I'm on a handset, but yeah, is that any better? Maybe I was covered over the microphone a little bit. But
okay, go ahead,
yeah,
David. Go ahead.
Almost nobody was doing prosecutions of it, but I remember specifically that the expression "fake electors" was used by them. They knew they were doing fake electors. They didn't want to call them alternate electors. They didn't want to call them. They knew that they were fake electors, and it was the planners that knew it. So I'm not sure if it's going to show up in Wisconsin's prosecution of it, but of the seven other states, that issue did come up. And if I remember right, Pittsburgh is Pennsylvania. When the fake electors in Pennsylvania, if I remember right, they actually created a codicil on there saying that they would be considered alternate electors, and so it would be more difficult to prosecute them. Because they were, but the other six states knew that they were fake electors and they were committing a crime. The other thing I was going to raise, I noticed in your news that Planned Parenthood is going to get back to normal up in Wisconsin, and there may be something that Wisconsin could do to help out the poor peasants of Texas. You know, in Texas, they've got a snitch law down there that says that if somebody rats out their friend, if they rat out their sister, if they rat out their, some associate that wants to get an abortion, they can get a $10,000 bounty, a $10,000 snitch bounty. And when you start looking at snitch money, where does the accounting come from in that? Is it always secret money? Is it always exempt from the tax man? And I talked to you yesterday about that crooked attorney general in Texas, Ken Paxton, and right. That when they started that snitch opportunity down there, I think they had 17,000 cases within 6 weeks. And that, imagine 17,000 cases clogging up the courts in 6 weeks, but that was 17,000 snitches as well. And so, was it 1.7 million in a short amount of time with no accounting, as far as I'm guessing? Who does the accounting for a snitch? And when you've got a crook like Ken Paxton as the Attorney General of Texas, could be that by studying the snitch accounting of Texas, Wisconsin could help relieve the poor peasants of Texas from having to pay these snitch their taxes going to snitches, and the taxes that normally would go to the schools or roads or anything else, it go mysteriously through some fund that is managed by Ken Paxton.
Yeah, that's an excellent call. Let me talk about it. We've talked about that in the past, but I want to talk about it again now, right now. This snitch bounty, it was never clear to me if a snitch snitches on a woman or snitches on her boyfriend or husband who's driving her, does he collect the 10 grand from them or the state? I don't think he collects it from the state. I think it's a penalty. The snitch bounty is a penalty against the person who had the abortion, or more likely against the doctor. Now, here's the origin of that. Russia has had a long, the minute Lenin took over and then Stalin throughout most of the 20th century, they were a snitch culture. And Putin is reviving that. And I'll give you an example. A woman was arrested and sentenced to something like, I don't know, 1 or 2 years in jail because she was riding a train and on her luggage, she had a peace symbol and the sign that said no war. Another passenger snitched on her to the successor to the KGB. They arrested her. She's going to jail. Now, the notion that you pay people or encourage them to snitch on anything is abhorrent. It's abhorrent to democracy. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. Russia had a secret police chief, the head of the predecessor to the KGB, called Laurentin Beria under Stalin in the 1940s. And they would encourage children to snitch on their parents. So they would encourage them to sneak out of bed, you know, late at night when the parents thought they were sleeping, and the parents would talk about, you know, how we're going to get out of Russia, or Stalin is terrible. They would snitch. Those parents would be arrested and sent to Siberia if they weren't killed. And then the kids would be given an award and they would be lauded on the radio. And, you know, little Ivanovsky here snitched on his parents. They were traitors to the state, and we are going to give him a scholarship and a medal here. And that is corrosive to human relations. It's corrosive to democracy. For Texas to emulate that is disgusting. I also can't believe that even the six tarantulas wouldn't overturn the snitch bounty on frankly privacy grounds in the Ninth Amendment. Remember in Griswold versus Connecticut, in 1962, it was illegal to buy contraceptives in Connecticut unless you were married. So if you went in and you wanted, you know, you wanted a condom or you wanted this or that, they'd say, are you married? And if you said no, they'd say, go away. Most people would lie and say yes, and most pharmacists would say fine. But if a pharmacist, it's sort of like carding somebody for alcohol. If the pharmacist sold them the condom or whatever anyway, and they weren't married, and he hadn't checked and asked for the marriage certificate, he'd get in trouble. So the Supreme Court in Griswold versus Connecticut under the Ninth Amendment found they called it a penumbra of privacy around around our democracy, around the Constitution. The famous law review article in the 1880s by Louis Brandeis, who went on to be a great Supreme Court justice and another professor. And it was called the right to privacy. In other words, no one ever thinks about it. You never think about it. But in a communist country, or an authoritarian country like in the Middle East, except for Israel. Israel is very strongly with Western civilization, but the rest of them, you have no right to privacy. Police can get you whenever they want. They can spy on you and all that kind of stuff. And so one of the things with the Dobbs decision that was really concerning to most people isn't what you might just think. Okay, they got rid of Roe v. Wade, but they basically got rid of the right to privacy. In other words, Roe v. Wade was based on the right to privacy, and they got rid of that for women, not for men. And, you know, even a lot of women have gone along with it for some reason. You have got to understand that your privacy is a constitutional right. This Supreme Court has said it's not. That's got to be restored to the position that it is a right under the Constitution. But the thing about a snitch bounty is it's so Soviet Stalinesque, that I would think that even the U.S. Supreme Court would find a right to privacy against snitches. But you know something? If that hasn't been contested to them, maybe lawyers in Texas have looked at it and thought that the six tarantulas would go against them on that too. So anyway, you're absolutely right. Nobody from Texas is going to fly to Wisconsin for an abortion. You know, they're going to go to California. They'll go over to, I think, I don't know, Arizona and Mexico. But it's a very, very, very terrible problem. And we do not want a Soviet-style snitch culture in this country. Thanks for calling. We're going back. Karina of Milwaukee. Thanks for calling. What's your mind, Karina?
Matt, absolutely agree. That was the worst, and it would be the worst for anyone if you allow people to snitch on each other, because there are a possibility of lying and putting somebody else's life in danger and family completely destroyed. So I agree. And the thing is, you see, this is what you're saying, that there are so many women go along with it, because even today, without all the changes, if I'm as a female wanted to tie my tubes, I have to have my husband's agreement and allowing me to do it. Yet, if my husband wanted to do a vasectomy, he doesn't have to ask me.
Yeah.
And that's today.
No. Right. No, that's terrible. I mean, that kind of thing, that's going on right now, folks. So take a look at the Constitution. There is a right to privacy in it that was found by the Supreme Court in Griswold versus Connecticut in 1962. It was expanded in Roe v. Wade, and now it's being retracted. I do not think the Supreme Court has the guts to permit states to deny contraception, but the logical extension of Dobbs does do that. Now, they're not stupid. I think the tarantulas themselves are not going to go that far. But when you come up with these very Stalinesque distortions like this snitch bounty, and that has got to be resisted at all counts, at all costs. One interesting little tidbit, the Colorado State Republican chairman, so you can't get more Republican than that in Colorado, blasted Lauren Boebert for switching congressional districts. And he said, quote, "She's got a serious challenge on her hands," end quote. I think, ironically, what Lauren Boebert did is made things much more difficult for her, but unfortunately may have helped the Republican Party, and here's my thinking. In the district she was in, Adam Frisch almost beat her by a couple of hundred votes. She beat him back the last time, and she chickened out. He's raised three times as much money as she. So it's you know, she was the one that made her waitresses carry open carry pistols in their holsters as they wait on tables. But God, so here's what she does. She starts firing her gun in the air, and she saddles up old paint and rears up and waves her cowgirl hat and rides the horse east in Colorado to a more conservative district. The problem is she is a flat-out nut, and by removing her in her district, it's an eight point Republican district. It's going to make it a little harder for Adam Frisch to beat an unknown, just like it was harder for our guy to beat Congressman Stile after Paul Ryan dropped out. He was the target. Now, she's going into a 20 point Republican seat, so the Republican will probably win, but it's crowded with people, and they all know she's a flat out nut. And so, is she going to win that primary? I don't much care. I hope she doesn't win the primary, but I'm not going to like whoever it is that beats her any more than I'm going to like her. So there you have it. There's exactly what's happening there. And but their own party is sticking it to her. So she left the one seat. So they think that probably helps them, because they're going to have somebody that doesn't have her baggage. But she's going into a seat with a lot of other Republicans. And actually, the Republican chairman tried to dissemble. He said, "Oh, I wish she hadn't left her seat. She's our strongest candidate." Yeah, right. I mean, three times outraised 3-1 in money, number one. And number two, has more baggage. I mean, really, seriously, more baggage than the baggage counter at Mitchell Airport. Anyway, coming up, Giuliani may not be protected by bankruptcy laws the way he thinks he is.
I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
If you're looking for a different way to ring in the new year, Wisconsin has its own version of the Times Square Ball Drop. It's the Big Cheese Drop, a giant glittering wedge of Satori cheese lowered every year outside the Art Center known as the Times Square of Plymouth, Wisconsin, the cheese capital of the world. The celebrations include cheese tasting, music, games, and the Big Cheese Drop at 10. It's a family-friendly event. I'm Terry Barr, and from all of us with the Civic Media Radio Network, happy holidays.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Mifflin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, everybody knows that Rudy Giuliani got nailed with almost a $150 million, I think it was about $148 million defamation verdict. And he can appeal all he wants, but the fact is that with Shea Moss and Ruby Freeman, he lied about them, said that they were rigging votes. He destroyed them, really. He destroyed their business, their little business where they made leather purses. And they decorated them, and they liked their business. And that had to get shut down. They had to leave their house for about 3 months. FBI told them, get out of town. They were getting death threats, they're calling the N-word. And it shattered Shea Moss, the daughter. It just shattered her self-confidence. It shattered her life. She said, I'm afraid to go out. I'm afraid to go to the store. Even now, people look at me. And they think that I was doing something wrong. Ruined their reputation, ruined their lives. These are two women living in Georgia, and they didn't have an easy life to begin with, and no black woman does down south or really anywhere else. But to be destroyed like this. Now, when Rudy Giuliani declared bankruptcy, a lot of people said, yeah, that's probably right. I mean, you know, he can't afford $148 million. And they're not going to settle for peanuts. So he can wipe his slate clean and go forward. And the reason behind the bankruptcy laws, you know, in the 19th century, they had debtor prisons. You couldn't pay your debt, say, in England or elsewhere in Europe. They put you in prison. And if you had kids, the kids went with you. And if you read Dickens, if you read 19th century literature, you get a flavor for what it was like in those days. Suddenly people decided, hey, why don't we not put them on prison? Why don't we wipe their debts clean? But that stigma obviously is going to hurt them in terms of getting credit in the future. And number two, you can't do it again. I think it's for 7 years. They can't just do it every year. There are some statutes that don't let you declare bankruptcy. And one controversial one was the credit card industry. If you know you're going to declare bankruptcy, a lot of people would then load up their credit card as much as they could and declare bankruptcy. And what you can't do is do that within X number of weeks of bankruptcy. In other words, you know, if you have a credit card debt on your card, that's one thing. But if you're going in there and kind of juicing it up just to avoid it right away, that's going to be exempted from bankruptcy. Harry Truman declared bankruptcy. He was a haberdasher. I think he sold hats in Missouri. And at one time he couldn't make it and he declared bankruptcy. Now, there's no stigma to it now. Trump's declared bankruptcy so often, not personally, but his casinos and businesses, that finally New York banks had been suckered enough and they wouldn't lend him anymore, which is why it's Russians that are giving it to him, and they're Putin's associates of organized crime in Russia. So it has a long, convoluted history. But there is a provision in the bankruptcy laws that most people are not aware of. And what it says basically is that willful and malicious injury by the debtor to another entity is not protected. So in other words, if you go to somebody and beat them with a stick or a lead pipe and they're badly injured and they get a judgment against you, you can't declare bankruptcy. You've deliberately done it. If you shoot somebody, you can't declare bankruptcy. If you do it on purpose. Now, it's much rarer in the defamation case. As you know, defamation is the umbrella tort. A tort is an injury that you commit to someone else other than by contract. In other words, you don't cheat them on a contract or whatever, but if you, it's not a contractual issue and you commit injury, it's a tort, T-O-R-T. And the tort of defamation is the umbrella tort and has two prongs. It has libel and slander. And people say, oh, defamation of character and all that. That's unnecessary. It's redundant. Defamation is libel or slander. And what defamation is, that the definition of it is that you've lowered someone in the esteem of the community by saying something false about them. So now, if you say somebody is a Vikings fan and he's really a Packers fan, that's not defamatory. That doesn't, you know, the average rational person shouldn't think of that. There was a guy in 1968 who ran against Bronson La Follette for attorney general in the Democratic primary, and Bronson La Follette's campaign said he was a Republican, the sheep in wolf's clothing. He sued for defamation. It went all the way up to the Supreme Court of Wisconsin. They said, saying that somebody's a Republican, even though he's a Democrat or vice versa, is not defamatory. Defamatory would be, say, if he had a criminal conviction, if he had a communicable disease, if he'd committed fraud, that's defamatory. So libel is written defamation. It's written defamation. Slander is verbal defamation. If you badmouth somebody and say something untrue, they can sue you for slander, but the amount of damages you can get and the litigation aspects to it are different. But if you write that somebody committed fraud or is a convict and he isn't, that's libel. And the one exception to everything I just said is that if you say it on radio or TV, that's also libel, even though you're only saying it because of a large audience. So there you have a quick crash course on that. Well, this guy, Giuliani, said, and he said it on television. I'm sure he said it on radio. I don't know if you put it in an op-ed, but that's libel. Said that they rig votes, said that, take a look at this video. They're dumping ballots into a bin. Yeah, they were, because Shea Moss was made, because of her fine performance, the head of absentee ballots for the area. And her mom, Ruby Freeman, used to sign on, make a few bucks to be a clerk at election time. They were supposed to be doing that. They're supposed to be doing that. He deliberately lied about them. Now, I think that a bankruptcy judge will say, no, you cannot get the protection of the bankruptcy laws. You injured them on purpose. Now, he may say, I'm just real dumb, even though I was mayor of New York, U.S. attorney, and ran for president and all that. I guess I'm dumber than I thought. I thought they were doing it. The judge then has to make a credibility determination. And I'll tell you what, I don't think it's reasonable to believe Giuliani if he said that. Giuliani didn't. He knew very, very well that he just picked two women. It happens to be two black women, and said that they rigged the election and was lying about it. And if that's what the judge comes up with, he ain't getting protected by the bankruptcy laws. Coming up, there is going to be news. There is going to be weather. And there is also going to be the Freedom Caucus threatening their leaders to try to shut the government down.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
FunTussle has been your trusted rural internet provider since 2003. Based in Wisconsin and backed by local support, FunTussle brings high-speed internet where others can't or won't. At an honest price, without any contracts or data caps, FunTussle has the plan that's right for you. Get connected with FunTussle today for internet, cellular, and entertainment by calling 877-227-0924. That's 877-227-0924. Or visit btussle.com.
Is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky.